Over the next few months here on the Space Boffins podcast, we'll be celebrating the missions that made the Apollo moon landings possible. NASA's Gemini missions of the mid-1960s included the first American spacewalk and a series of orbital docking manoeuvres. The first manned Gemini spacecraft, Gemini 3, was launched in 1965. And on board were astronauts Gus Grissom and John Young. And here are some extracts from the original mission control recordings of the launch.
54 degrees on Sudhaman. That's pretty good. Let's see what the rise is. Secondary gauge light is on.
This is Gemini Control. Little cross conversation going between Gus Grissom and John Young on the various lights and their positions. Everything in a go condition. The count, T minus 1 minute and 20 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. And we have a liftoff. We have a liftoff at 24 minutes after the hour.
As our own program. Roger, roll.
Flight close 10 seconds. The clocks have started. Roger.
We are advised that Grissom has separated from the booster at this time. He is in orbit. Momentarily, we'll have the numbers on that orbit.
Flight, Fido, we're go. Roger, Capcom, we're go.
Roger, you are go, Molly Brown.
Capcom from flight.
Go, flight.
Ask him how it looks. All right.
Molly Brown, Cape Capcom.
Go, Cape Capcom.
Look better from there than on a ballistic flight?
Go again.
Does it look better from there than on a ballistic flight? Roger, how do it look? Right.
Reminder that astronauts weren't chosen for their powers of description. Can anyone around the table, I know Jerry will know the answer to this, tell me why the capsule was called Molly Brown?
Well, Molly Brown was a survivor from the Titanic.
He made a film out of it with Debbie Reynolds in it.
Yes, the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah.
And the reason that Gus chose that as the name was because his Mercury spacecraft actually sank in the Atlantic after the splashdown. NASA actually weren't that happy about it being called Molly Brown. They thought it was a bit frivolous. They said, do you have another name? And he said, yeah, how about Titanic?
How important, Jerry, were the Gemini missions?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as you said in the beginning, Apollo couldn't have taken place without them. They essentially took all the parts of the moon flights, apart from, of course, an actual landing, and tried them out one at a time in orbit around the Earth. So you had rendezvous, you had EVA going outside the spacecraft, docking, and that proved, actually, that one day a lunar module would be able to lift off from the moon and rejoin the command module in orbit.
Sanjeev, they were remarkable missions, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they were happening at the time I was born, so I don't have much memory of them, but I think it was just the fact that they were building up to something big, and that's the key with science. They don't happen in these single events. You actually have a lot of precursor preparations to, so in some ways for like the Mars mission, the Opportunity rovers have been the preparation, and the success of those Opportunity rovers, you know, lasting 7 years, have really made MSL possible. So
I do just want to mention that the two astronauts there, Gus Grissom, who Jerry you mentioned, had the incident in the second suborbital Mercury flight. He died, Gus Grissom, in the Apollo 1 fire, so in 1967, I think, alongside Roger Chaffee and Ed White. The other person, John Young, I interviewed John Young a few years ago. He is the most unassuming person. I wanted to talk to him about walking on the moon. He was in the Gemini program. He's two Apollo missions. He flew the first space shuttle. He then flew another space shuttle. He wanted to talk about computers. He didn't want to talk about any of this stuff. He was the most unassuming man, incredible man.
Well, our thanks to guest Jerry Stone, and a little bit of you is landing on Mars, isn't it? You've got is it a name on a CD-ROM there?
That's right. When Curiosity lands on Mars, then I'll be landing with it. My name is among the mission supporters' names, which is on a microchip on the spacecraft. So I'll be getting to Mars as well.
And good luck. And thank you to Professor Sanjeev Gupta. We'll be keeping our fingers crossed for you and looking forward to hear about some of the results you're going to get at some stage in the future. The Space Boffins podcast is produced in partnership with the Naked Scientists. We're supported by the Atrium Space Insurance Consortium and a grant from the UK Space Agency.
We'll be back in a month, but next time in the Naked Astronomy podcast, Ben will be finding out how researchers benefit from citizen science using data from the Galaxy Zoo project to probe the universe. Nice word, probe. Plus, he'll be discovering four impossible binary star systems that challenge our understanding of how stars form and answering your space science questions. If there's anything you'd like to ask, email astronomy@thenakedscientists.com.
Do follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Space Boffins. I'm Sue Nelson.
And I'm Richard Hollingham. Thanks very much for listening.